Senate Resources, please come to order.
Oh, she said.
Let the record show full committee present. First item before us today is the Fish Board appointees. It's my intention, without objection, to circulate the normal letter. And if any of you haven't seen the proposed draft letter, it's available. What will happen there, I do not know. Unless there's objection, I will pass that letter. Is there any objection? Very well. Moving then to the bill before us today, it's committee substitute for House Bill 298, an act establishing National Petroleum Reserve, etc. First one to testify today is Commissioner Heath, Department of Revenue Commissioner.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
May I pose a couple of questions I'd like the Commissioner to respond to?
Certainly.
Madam Chair, one of the things I'd be interested in, not clear in the bill, as to whether this will be binding on future sales in the NPR. The subdivision issue, I think, has been spoken to, but and I'd also like some response as to whether we're talking about current impact or future impact. I think there's a question in the way the law is written, the bill is written.
Please do.
There is, at this point in time, definitely a question as to whether or not this bill would have some potential retroactive effect, in as much as the federal government hopefully owes us $30 or $33 million for monies that are held in escrow. We have not physically received those monies at this point in time.
Madam Chair, why don't you go through, I'm sorry, with the testimony, and then I'll rephrase those.
Why don't you just then state your remarks, Commissioner, and we'll go from there.
Thank you. My remarks will be very brief. This is a bill that appears to implement the federal law on those funds we receive from the National Petroleum Reserve out of these sales. Federal law does require that we, in some manner, address the effects of those lease sales upon communities that are impacted, political subdivisions that are impacted. As this bill is written, the way we read it, it would set up a fund which we would pay in, depending on which version you're reading, either one half of the monies received by the state or one quarter of the monies received by the state into a fund. Then be subject to appropriation by the legislature. The legislature could appropriate in one of two ways. They could appropriate specifically to political subdivisions by directing to and the Department of Revenue area implement what the legislature required. Or it could be appropriated in lump sum to the Department of Revenue to determine which political subdivisions are most directly and severely impacted. That is the way we are reading the bill at the moment. I'm happy to try to answer questions.
Madam Chair?
Senator?
I think there are some several specific questions I have. The finding points toward the North Slope Borough. The bill states the subdivision. It does not talk about the subdivision. So it seems to me that there's not a clarity there in intent. In other words, that we should say subdivisions. There's a section, if you have the bill there, on page 2, line 1, 2, 3, 4. It talks about 50% of the amount received from the federal government. And I'm not sure, I would assume that 50% goes to the permanent fund. And then the 50%, it sounds like one subdivision only would receive the balance of the 50. In other words, 100% is the total amount received, 50 to the permanent fund, 50 to one subdivision. Is that how you read it?
Madam Chair, the original bill which we supported was plural subdivisions.
Mm-hmm.
And we would only support the plurality.
You support subdivisions.
Plural, more than one.
Okay. Madam Chair, where do you, and then if we could take a look at the page 2, line 5, I'm sorry, 11 on through that section E. On page 2, line 11, section, or the small E.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. Are we talking here of current or future impact? Is that so narrow that an area which might be impacted, such as the Fairbanks North Star Borough, for instance, which might well have major impact, or possibly the municipality in Anchorage, is it drawn so narrowly that they could not qualify under this because of the way this is written? Is that the intent?
It is my understanding that Fairbanks or Anchorage or Juneau could qualify if they could, if the showing were made, if that was for the impact, they were severely impacted. Directly and or severely impacted, we want in their statement.
Then, as I understand it, Commissioner, the extent of subdivision is impacted would be determined by the Department of Revenue.
Chair, as it's presently written, it could be determined by the legislature by direct appropriations, or the legislature could appropriate to revenue a single sum of money, and the Department of Revenue would then determine the impact. But it could be done strictly by the legislature. It could be done in conjunction with some administrative procedure.
Just a question of clarification for me, Commissioner Heath. In the National Resources Committee, a little over a year ago, I guess, at that time we were studying the two versions of the bill, that federal bill that allocated funds from OCS or from National Petroleum Reserves, et cetera. And one of those bills had 25% going to the subdivision. In fact, one had 50%. Are you aware of which one passed in December, I think it was December, the federal government, what was that? Was that a 50% or a 25%?
Chair, as I understand, we get 50% from NPRA, mm-hmm. and of that 50%, we give half of that directly to the permanent fund.
That's through this legislation, though.
That's where we are today. Yeah. We receive $1 million from federal government under this program, which is half of what they've received, then we would put half of ours immediately in the permanent fund.
At what? Was that done through legislation or the choice of the administration? Was that done through legislation? I'm blank on that today.
That was done partially. Oh, it was 25% was required by constitutional amendment, and the remaining 25 was done by legislation. Making up our half of the federal
path. Okay, so all of those funds then would be used either for the subdivisions involved or impacted or for the permanent fund.
As this presently drafted, 50% would go first to the permanent fund, and the remaining 50 would then be put in a special fund to be subject to appropriation, either directly or to the Department of Revenue to try to determine who is most directly and severely or severely impacted.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
On that, one consideration had been at one time, because it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, I remember Sclessy.
Right, CRA would obtain from the affected subdivisions an assessment of the impact of development, and that they should adopt regulations for how this would go. There's really nothing in here, for instance, if in any bill that's before the legislature, if this bill were to pass, could just directly send that $17 million to one or more. It doesn't really require that any assessment be made of the impact. It could or could not be made. Am I correct? It could be just appropriated out.
I believe that would always be in the prerogative of the legislature. I don't think this.
But this doesn't tell you to set up any regulations or standards or do anything.
By implication, it does force revenue to develop some methodology
Where?
It's, the copy I have, it's line 27. It's the last two lines on the first page. The Commission of Revenue shall pay the subdivision of the state that are most directly or severely impacted. Madam Chair, the only way I could see a commissioner trying to do that would make objective determination in some manner.
Are there further questions of the commissioner? Thank you very much, Bob. Tom Kessler from AG's office.
Thank you.
Now, your last name?
Custer.
Custer.
Yes.
Excuse me. I'm up to my usual
thing. O-E-S-T-L.
Custer.
First, Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'd like to apologize for not getting my letter down to you until earlier today. I know that you'd like to have proposed amendments at least 24 hours in advance. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to obtain the bill review letter from 2 years ago until late Friday afternoon, and I wasn't able to prepare the letter that you received today until early this morning. And my apologies for not getting it before then. I see that your staff, however, has risen to the occasion and has the amendments suggested in that letter already prepared for the committee's consideration. Very briefly, in looking at the Judiciary Committee substitute, most of the constitutional problems that were raised when similar legislation was introduced in the 12th Alaska legislature have been taken care of in this bill, but it does present some minor problems, one of which is the provision that revenues are to be paid to the subdivision, singular. The federal legislation, which authorizes the state to receive these revenues, requires the state, when using the money obtained, received from the federal government, to give consideration to the subdivisions, plural, most directly or severely impacted by leasing activities in NPRA. In order to make the state conform to federal law, it's our view that the word subdivision should be amended to read subdivisions. That would give the legislature then, or if the legislature delegated the responsibility to the Department of Revenue or the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, the authority to make an independent assessment as to which subdivisions or subdivisions are most directly impacted and to what extent. At that point, then, the decision would be made as to which subdivisions, if any, were being so severely or directly impacted that they should receive a portion of the funds received by the state from the federal government under the federal law. The statement of intent is that the legislature intends that this amount be 50%, but to be reviewed annually. As I'm sure all of you are aware, one legislature cannot bind another. And so while that is a statement of intent, it is not binding. And in fact, because the monies to be paid to the subdivisions first must be appropriated, it's apparent that the legislature would be looking annually at precisely what amount should be paid to each subdivision. Now, the statement of intent, in many cases, becomes the rule of thumb or the guideline against which those appropriations are made. But it is not binding as a matter of law. And if someone, if a legislature wished to deviate from that and felt that that was an inappropriate amount to pay to a subdivision, that would be perfectly proper and certainly would be legal for the legislature to make that determination.
Are the amendments that we have before us that were proposed by your office worded in a manner that's agreeable?
Yes.
To fill your office? Are there questions or comments from members of the committee?
Madam Chair?
Senator Sturgeon.
Tom, could you go over the Second Amendment and not paid? What are we saying here? The Second Amendment to page 2, line 5, D.
This is just what we believe would clarify what we perceive to be the intent of the bill. As it currently reads, it says, amounts received by the state under A of this section shall be used by the state for the following activities and services. Well, the amounts received by the state under A of the section are all the revenues.
Right.
And so this would make clear that the state would be using those revenues not appropriated by the legislature for the subdivisions for these other purposes.
That would be the remainder then of the 50% that doesn't go to the permanent fund.
That does not go to the permanent fund, if there is a remainder.
Okay.
And that makes sense.
Under C. Okay. Madam Chair?
Senator?
Now, is it your understanding that this piece of legislation talks to the money that's on hand, the $17 million, as well as any future arrangements on the NPR?
Yes, that would be my understanding.
Are there further comments or questions from members of the committee? Gee, we're quite grouped today. Thank you very much. Luann, is it it's my understanding that Representative Adams has no objection to these two amendments, is that correct? Then, is there anyone else who would like to speak to this bill? The chair would accept a motion on amendment number one.
Madam Chair, I move amendment number one to House Bill 298.
Is there objection? Hearing none, chair would accept a motion on amendment number two.
Madam Chair, I move amendment number two.
Is there objection?
Madam Chair?
Discussion, yes.
Just because I want to be sure I understand this. Could I ask Mr. Custer another question?
Please do.
All right. We've got a pie, and it's 100%.
Right.
Okay. We're getting, which is 50% of the revenue from the, 50% equals 100% to the state, 50% to the federal. Okay. 50% of our 100% goes to the permanent fund. 50% then is available for impacted subdivisions.
We read it as 50.
Okay. This is what I want to be sure.
Here's our 100%.
Here's our 100% fine.
Which we're looking at the 100% now is half of what the federal government got.
Okay.
So,
but we've got 100%. Let's forget about them now.
We have 100%. 50% goes directly to the permanent fund.
Right.
25% by the constitutional amendment, which requires that mineral.
Okay. But 50% of our 100% is over in
the permanent fund.
Right.
The remaining 50% would go into this NPRA special revenue.
Right.
Then that money would be available for whatever the legislature determined it wanted to do with that money, as long as it was consistent with the purposes of the federal law.
Mm-hmm.
The way I would interpret this bill is that because 50% of the revenues from the federal government are intended to go to the legislature, that it would be the intent that all of the money going in the NPRA Special Revenue Fund would go to the political subdivisions.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that would be subject to annual appropriation by the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
So an annual determination then would be made as to whether some of the money in the NPRA Special Revenue Fund should be retained by the state for state purposes consistent with federal law, or whether the entire amount in that Special Revenue Fund should be allocated to political subdivisions based on impact.
So what you're saying is the possibility then would be, since we're now talking subdivisions, you still could allow, and that's where I'm breaking down a little bit, that the state could still retain some of that for its own purposes then, as long as it met the qualifications out in E. It would not all have to go to the subdivision then.
Right, right. In fact, if all of the revenues were dedicated by statute to the subdivisions, we would construe that as an impermissible dedicated fund because federal law does not require such dedication.
Okay.
And under the state dedicated fund prohibition, that would be a dedication beyond what is required for participation in this federal program. And therefore, it would be impermissible. So in our view, under the dedicated fund prohibition, the legislature would have to retain the option to make a determination on an annual basis whether all of the funds going into the special fund should be used for political subdivisions, or whether only a portion of them should, or indeed whether none of them should. If the legislature determines that year, through whatever basis, that there is no impact on the subdivision, that the impact is falling on the state.
Madam Chair, but it could then go either to the state, it could be retained in the fund, or it could go totally to the political subdivision, determining year by year as the appropriation were made.
Just to follow up, it could also, I think I hear you saying, that could all stay in the state with the political subsidy to get nothing.
depending on the legislature would have that prerogative by making a reasoned judgment that the impact in one particular year, for example, did not fall on a political subdivision, but instead the impact was falling on the state itself.
Maybe the cost of education or something that's
mm-hmm. so I have a question. And if we did nothing, where would that money go? 50% of the permanent fund, other for 50% of the general fund?
No, the 50%, as we read the bill, would remain in the NPRA special revenue fund.
And what, reason, what bill are we talking about?
The bill that set it up by the
bill. I said, what we're working under now. Okay. If we did nothing with this bill, the 50% would go into the permanent fund, the other 50% would go in the general fund, which is happening now. But they haven't given us any money, is that right?
Chair, we have received 30 plus millions with another 30 plus deferred. So we have actually received to date some 30 million.
So what you're saying then is that if we do that, put this into a fund, it's still going to require legislative action to allocate those funds like we do out of the general funds.
But they're there for a specific purpose.
The problem right now without this kind of a fund is that it becomes an accounting problem for the state to account to the federal government as to what happened to the money.
Okay, I see. The federal government requires it to go.
Right.
Now, it doesn't require where it goes, but it has to go for that purpose.
For those purposes. Those purposes are quite general. As when looking
if we found a statewide impact, we can pretty well spread it on the state.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are there further questions? Thank you again.
Madam Chair, would you like the committee to speak on that?
Yes, I would.
Madam Chair, I move the resource committee to substitute the contains the amendments that were just passed. House
will. Madam Chair, we need to please have amendments 2 months before we have to vote on
that. I withdraw any objection.
Then without objection, amendment 2 is accepted. Thank you, Paul. Is there objection to moving the bill as a committee substitute with the amendments? Then is that with individual recommendations if you want? Is there objection to that? Thank you very much. Is there anything else to come before the committee today? Committee is adjourned. How's that?